Salute the flag.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Ellen, can we get a roll call, please?
Sure. Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez?
Here.
Commissioner Hudson? Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Chairman Custodio?
Here. Now we're in the portion of the agenda regarding public comments. So this provides an opportunity for the members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. Do we have any concerns, issues? No? All right. Lovely crowd today.
So, the compliment.
So now we're in the part of the consent agenda. So we're going to approve or not regarding the minutes of the regular meeting dated July 16, 2015. It's recommended that we approve, but has everyone had a chance to review those minutes?
Yes.
So is there any questions about those minutes? Concerns? No? All right. So if I can get a motion to approve.
Make a motion.
Can I get a second?
Second.
All right. Can I get a roll call, please, Hill?
Commissioner Perez? Commissioner Perez?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez?
Yes.
Chairman Hudson? Chairman Custodio?
Yes.
Sorry.
It's fine. He was chairman for a long time. All right, now we're in the portion of the public hearing, so I'm going to give it up to staff at this moment, and this is regarding consideration of the ordinance number 2015-004.
Do you want to present? So just for the benefit of the Planning Commission, I'm going to turn it over to Caitlin.
Caitlin, okay.
Caitlin Underwood. She is our permit technician. She does a phenomenal job. She's in the building department. Gary Higginbotham is the building official. I know you're used to seeing Ellen in my face regularly, but this is an integral part of our team as well. So as you approve projects, Caitlin and Gary are the ones that make sure that the building permits get issued. We collect the right amount of money, and then both of them tag team and go out into the field and make sure that the buildings are actually constructed per plans, per code, and things like that. So this is kind of the front half of the team, and that's the back half of the team. And Caitlin and Gary are extremely valuable to our department and do a great job. So that being said, Caitlin, it's all yours.
Okay, good evening. A while back, earlier this year, AB 2188 count came down from the legislature that basically said it's the goal of the state to make it easily accessible to homeowners to put small rooftop solar systems on their homes. They have a goal by 2020 to have all new residential construction be net zero in regards to energy efficiency. So in that spirit, they're also trying to make it easy for folks that have previously constructed houses to retrofit them. All this says is now it's required that we provide an expedited permitting process to get these solar permits through plan check, and the building permit fees be reasonable. And so basically just keep the costs down, get them through quick, make this easy for our homeowners to start saving some energy, saving some money. The building department is already in compliance with this mandate. It's just the actual formalization of putting it into our code as a procedure to follow, so that any contractor or homeowner that happens to look what our policy is on that, they're going to be able to look it up in our code, and it's written there. The second half of this ordinance is the underground services alert. That's number 811, call before you dig. That's just in the effort of the city of Reedley to just stay safe during any type of excavation or construction. That wasn't something that was spelled out, but it's something that cities are starting to do to just make it known to any contractor coming through. We want you to be as safe as possible, follow all the rules, and it's best interest for everyone. So, and that's that concludes the content of the ordinance. So. Any questions at all? But
thank you, Caitlin.
I have a question for you, Caitlin. My concern when I read is what is who conducts, who is responsible to ensure that the structural roof or whatever we're working on is actually safe in order to place the solar panels on top and no liability can occur?
Sure. So that is something that we address in our normal plan check, and we would do that for any type of structure that came or project that came through plan check. That's one of our main concerns in building is can the structure support what it's going to serve as. So one of the first things we look at is we'll look at rafter spacing, uplift from wind loads, all of that comes into consideration, and the building code has requirements spelled out for us to follow. And the rule on the solar systems is they cannot increase the load by more than 5%. In general, the construction you see, unless it's an extremely old house that is in disrepair, or unless you're seeing some kind of specialty heavy tile on a roof, the panels are surprisingly lightweight. I can't recall a permit since I've worked here that has been denied for that reason. But we do have a specific plan check procedure we follow. Gary is certified to sign off on those plans, and we do get engineering calculations with the permit application. That's part of our plan review also.
So we're responsible for that structural check, is that correct?
No.
So let me jump in here.
Sure.
So there's two sides to it. No, what comes to us is an engineer's report that shows all the structural calculations to support the roof.
Mm-hmm.
From the applicant's engineer.
Okay.
So their stamp is what holds the liability, mm-hmm. not the city. Ellen's role, Caitlin. Steve and I get thrown off. Caitlin and Gary, what their role is to A, make sure and that, you know, the structural calcs are there, to make sure that they're stamped, that they're certified, you know, in the state of California. And then they look at things that are specific to the building code. So when the building code says that the span can't be more than 18 inches on center, they're making sure that every span is 18 on center. The city is not, if you're asking the question, is the city liable for the structural calcs on, no, we are not. That is through their independent engineer that provides us that information. We're making sure it complies with state law. We accept no responsibility for the calculations themselves, the weight that they will bear, that is given to us by, I mean, if it's a manufactured home, now, you know, somebody's engineer, basically.
Okay. So that's just like when you're selling a house, you need to do a structural inspection from a certified inspector.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's our insurance that structure is willing to undertake this project, the solar panels?
Well, what ends up happening is you know, you buy a house and there are structural calcs that have been provided to the city. And most of the time, depending on the age of the house, we may or may not have those records. Let's presume that we do have those records because that was part of their original building permit. So now you want to put, I think where you're going is now you want to put up solar, which has a weight to it, and how does the city know and how does the city not be liable for the additional weight and anything that it will do to that so what happens is the solar company's engineer will look at that, and sometimes they may or may not make recommendations as part of their building permit. Okay, so maybe the weight, we need to go 8 inches on center instead of the existing 12 inch or 18 inch on center. So they're responsible, and it is their engineer that calculates the load, the new load, and any modifications to the existing structure. They would provide that to us with engineering calcs and they come in a particular format all the time, so, you know, it's nothing new. And Gary looks at them and, okay, we got them. And then we'll verify that against the state building code. So again, it is solely their responsibility and their liability. So if you're worried about, does somebody come in, throw something up, and then it's going to cave in 2 months, or, and Caitlin used the word uplift. So that is a calculation that to make sure that the wind can't get in between the panel and the existing roof and actually lift up, you know, that structure, if you will. So it is well engineered, as well as there's state building code that requires how that will be affixed or attached to the structure in and of itself.
Okay. And that was my only concern. I had a lot of other questions, but I think if the way I worded it and you folks answered it should suffice.
Right.
That was my concern, was the liability to the city.
And it's just, if I can add to that, I don't know, I don't have an experience in that directly, but I have someone who went through this. And it even goes further that PG&E comes out and they actually inspect the work that the solar company did, and then they have to approve. Mm-hmm. And that could be, I don't know if it's structure or not, but they have to approve it as well. So there's different levels.
Yeah, because they're sharing, having to share PG&E service. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they need a...
Yeah.
Also, yes, correct.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Guys? Ladies?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I shook my head to that, too. It's okay.
Caitlin, thank you. Kevin, thank you. If there's no other concerns or questions about this, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to approve this resolution. So is that okay with you guys?
No, let's talk about it.
Okay, we can talk about it a little bit more. All right, so we have under public hearing number 2, we have A and B. So I'm going to include both of them in this resolution. We're going to approve both of them at the same time. I will make sure that it is clear of when, you know, as I'm reading what we're approving here. So we have resolution number 2015-11. This is a resolution of the City of Reedley Planning Commission recommending approval of the ordinance number 2015-004, an ordinance of the City of Reedley adding Chapter 4, Title 9, to Title 9 of the Reedley Municipal Code relating to expediting permitting procedures for small residential rooftop solar systems, and adding Section 1-9-1-5 to Chapter 1 of Title 9 pertaining to undergrounding services alerts. And we're also recommending and approving that the Planning Commission finds that no new environmental document is required for this project pursuant to California Environmental Quality Act Guidelines Section 15162 and 15168C2. Could I get a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve as read and explained by the chair.
Could I get a second?
Second.
We have a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez?
Yes.
Chairman Custodio?
Yes. Thank you. All right. So now we're in the part of the agenda where Mr. Fabino is going to give us his updates. So you have the floor.
Quickly?
Sure.
Okay.
Whenever,
so
that is never quickly.
Go ahead. It's going to be really quick tonight. A couple things. If you're wondering about what's going on Manning Avenue, that is the new Les Schwab. So we're pretty excited about that. They're in and obviously under construction. And if you were wondering why there's like that big hole, no, it's not a pounding basin, but the soils report required that they excavate and then recompact in that area, which will eventually be the roadway. It is not It is not a ponding mason.
You know what? That's the first thing that went through my mind. What? They're not going to put a ponding mason
there. Yeah, no. That's what we've had several calls, and that's what it really is the makeup of the soil.
Making sure it's...
It's got to be good and compact as subsoil before they put the substrate on, and then eventually put the asphalt over the top.
That building is going to be facing, it's actually this way, huh?
Yeah.
Facing this way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So that's moving along. We do have the plans in for the medical office, the 9000 on Manning Avenue. You know, between the two doctor's offices right behind Walgreens, or right behind the two doctors next to Walgreens. So we're pretty excited about that one. That finally got in and moving forward. We also recently received, and I think it was this week, but if you want a specific date, Caitlin can tell you. I think it was this week. Might have even been Tuesday. You may have noticed it on 11th and North, right next to the school. Those old structures were taken down about 2 weeks ago they were taken down. The intersection looks like 1,000 times better. And it is amazing how big that piece of land is. It doesn't, with those, because there was the old garage up in front and then there was the residential building. It didn't, and it's all boarded up and nasty, but that's a huge piece. The plans came in for that, and that is going to be, Dr. Amu is developing that as a medical facility. So that'll be really good.
Are you talking there next to Caddy Corner from the church, from Grant? Next to Grant School?
Yeah.
Okay, oh, I see.
Yeah.
Next to Donuts to Go?
Nice. Yeah.
Across the street
from Donuts to Go.
We all know where that is.
Yeah, we all know what that's what
so,
I said.
Sorry, I said the church, but then somebody said, well, which one is that?
Yeah.
So that was
which church?
Which
I figured that was a good landmark, cause, but that was a bad choice. There you go.
That's exciting.
They pulled the first building permit got pulled today for temporary power. So they're really moving. Getting ready to move ahead. Just kind of wanted to report on something that occurred in the Exponent, and I thought I'd just provide clarity to the audience as well as the commission. You had approved the Emmanuel project at your last planning commission, and then immediately after that there was a little blurb in the paper about, you know, it moving on to city council. And I thought it might be worthy just to have just a really quick conversation about that. The planning commission has authority to approve conditional use permits, site plans, and basically tentative tract maps. So you were within your full authority to approve those entitlement applications. You make recommendation to the city council on land use issues related to the general plan or rezone or text amendments. Those are what are the decisions you make are called quasi-judicial. The council has what's called legislative authority, so that's why they have the authority to change the text of the Reedley Municipal Code, or the colors of the general plan, or the letters on the zoning map, or those kinds of things. So that's their authority, and those are why you make recommendations to them. But it still comes through you. So the shorter story is, and I've clarified with the Exponent, that the Emmanuel project will not be going to the city council because it was clearly within your jurisdiction to approve that project. And because there was no appeal of the project, unless somebody really wanted to, and it's kind of a joke, like, do you really want to take it to the city council? It's not going there. It will not appear there. And it's just your jurisdictional authority as a quasi-judicial body to approve it here. I thought I would just kind of provide that explanation. If you need more information, want me to clarify anything about, you know, legislative authority versus your authority and what you can and can't prove, let me know. And
there was some confusion because even some of the city council people thought it was going to come before them. Because I had conversations with
there was no reason to take it there.
Okay. Stating. I made a statement, that's all.
I mean, staff has no authority under the code. Once you approve it, I can't second guess your approval. I mean, I know what the record or the exponent said, but really the only reason it would go up to council would be if it were appealed.
So the exponent wrote that in their paper.
Yes.
So they got that from our meeting.
They made some assumption.
Assumption. So
there was no representation of them at that July 16th meeting.
Yeah. That is correct. So it was an assumption. So it's really nothing, you know, whatever information they got and they printed, that has been cleared by you.
Right.
Okay.
Now, you are exactly right in that this particular topic has been appealed and has gone to the city council previously. Mm-hmm. But again, that was not the case here.
Yeah.
And so I thought it would be worthy of spending a moment, just because we bring something to you. That's why we try to be very careful about our recommendations that say approve or recommend to the city council. You know, so when you see that, you know, as I always try to give you little hints, when you see something that says approve, it is within your jurisdiction of your authority to approve. When it's recommended, it's, you know, it's some legislative action that is going on to city council.
For example, like today. Today's resolution, yes, is to recommend to the city council to approve.
Because what the application is to change the code. And you can't change the code, only the council can change the code. And so in entitlements, site plan review, CUPs, variances, which we haven't done one of those since I've been here, and we probably aren't, I'm not an advocate of variances, I'll just throw that out there, another conversation, but really tentative tract maps are all yours. So just thought I'd throw that out there for clarification purposes. Last on the planning side is that Ellen and I attended a meeting with our consultants over the draft of the climate action plan. We're pretty excited about the beginning efforts that came through our consultants. They've got a little bit more work to do. We hope that within the next 30 days they'll be able to finish that up. Climate action plan?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
okay.
I don't know.
Glad you asked.
Thank
so
you.
It kind of spawns from two sources. One is the general plan, which says the city will reduce its carbon footprint, is the jargon you hear, by a percentage at the end of a period. State law, AB 32, requires that the city gear up for three milestones. The first milestone is a 15% reduction by 2015, which we have already achieved. By 2030, and Gabriel, help me out if I go wrong, it's like 50%, and by 2050, it's like 80%. So
to 1990 levels or something like that.
Well, you get to pick your you get to pick your baseline year. So we use 2005 as our baseline, and the way you reduce your greenhouse gas emissions is through things like, we had all old diesel trucks, mm-hmm, that have gone to CNG. We've put solar on this building and three other places, which means less energy production. We got a ton of credit because we're using electric vehicles instead of gas. We got a ton of credit because we're using, our water consumption has gone down. And you go, well, what do you mean water consumption? Well, the pumps that consume electricity to pump that water to you is gone down because we're producing less water. So those are the kinds of things that, and you know, this isn't the, I won't even go there. So with that being said, we have already made our 2015 goal. We got a 23% reduction. So we clearly eclipsed that and are well on our way to achieving our 2030 goal. So what we met with the consultant today was, how are we going to kind of get that 25% delta? You know, how are we going to achieve that? And the conversation was basically, some of that will be accomplished through continuing city efforts. So a good example would be, there's actually two pumps on the water tower. One is the primary pump, which moves water during demand time. And then it's called a jockey pump. It's a smaller pump that moves water along when there's less demand. So that's that energy savings helps reduce our greenhouse gas. But greenhouse gas can also be reduced through community actions or through development. So whether they put what are called low E windows, you know, or VOCs, or
what about the school district going to electric or anything like that?
You know, all of those kinds of things add up. That what we need to be able to figure out is how does development contribute to that 27% delta over the next basically 15, 18 years, so that the city can make sure we hit our 50% reduction by.
So it's the whole city then. It's not, you get credit for what the school district does, you get credit for what developers are doing.
Yeah.
It's not just the city, the municipality itself.
Yeah.
I mean the government itself, it's the city as well.
Exactly. And one of the things that we talked about this morning was the city's commitment to monitor this over time, so that every 3 to 5 years we'll redo this. And quite frankly, one of the things that we talked about was, you know, we recognize the achievement we've made. There are some policies about where we're going to go as a government agency to reduce the GHGs. The first step for us is to, again, develop in that toolbox kind of a rubric that can help us with development projects, whether they're coming in to pull a solar permit, whether they're coming in to do, you know, a new building. So are all the appliance Energy Star? Do they have any kind of purple pipe or water retention mechanisms on site? Are they, you know, low VOC paints or those kinds of things? Low emitting windows, or, you know, so that we have a way to begin, and I stress begin, kind of evaluating what those impacts or savings of impacts will be over a period of time. This is the first, I mean, for us, I mean, I can tell you right now, nobody else is doing their climate action plan, even though it's required by law. So we're kind of out there on the forefront. And so we also think that across the next 15 to 18 years is really hard to guesstimate. So we're really trying to begin developing with this first climate action plan the tools to evaluate downstream where we're going to be. More so than trying to calculate, to do the actual calculations as to where we're at today on a community-wide basis. So we see the first plan as the opportunity to build the toolbox, and then our sophistication will hopefully grow in years to come, and we'll be able to calculate. And I'm sure I could go to the school district, because Emmanuel just got the first electric bus. They just took possession, I think, within the last 2 weeks. So for us to be able to calculate what that greenhouse savings is to us is great, but we really need the toolkit to look at it in a bigger perspective. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, we're almost done. Two things with respect to engineering. Mueller Park, There's been a lot of renovation that's gone on at Mueller. It's still under construction. Remember, you may remember, they got a grant. They're putting in the walking path. Picnic benches are going in, kind of little outcroppings off of the primary walking path. We have barbecues and things like that. There's restroom facility rehabilitation that's coming. I know they're moving along, and that project's doing pretty well. The last thing, while Stanley Avenue is all torn up, if you've been over by Stanley, the road construction ought to be, they ought to be repaving that within the next couple weeks or week or so. So that's moving on. The last thing I'll report on is the potting basin. Is going to be 13 acres, not 10. We have been discussing with a developer who originally had an interest in three of those 19 acres to expand senior living. We had some discussion and said, look, you know, city's got to move forward. They said, look, go ahead. If it's there when we're ready, great. If it's not, no big deal. So we're pretty excited about that. That spurred on a, we solicited 9 companies. I know it was at least 9 engineering firms through an RFQ, request for qualifications process. We received 3 proposals or statements of qualification, to be more specific. We interviewed the 3 firms. We have identified the firm that we think based on their statement of qualifications could do a really good job for the city, and we're now talking to them about getting a formal proposal and potentially entering into a contract with them for design services for the 13 acres. Ideally, we would love to have the contract in place by the end of this month, and it's about a 4 to 5 month, 6 month process to get to construction drawings. So that would mean by April of next year, which would be ideal, to have those construction documents in place. We envision, because we have limited money, I'd love to, we know that there are groups that need dirt. Les Schwab is a great example. There are other places that need dirt. And high-speed rail needs a ton of dirt. That we're in the perfect ideal world, it would be they can come dig all they want, take as much as you want. But when you dig, you cut it to our standards. So come take the dirt for free. Just leave us, per our design, a ponding basin. It's either that or we're going to sell the dirt. So then you sell the dirt, and then you come back and hire a contractor to actually, you know, create the right grades and slopes and things like that. So that's the general thinking about how we'll actually get it constructed at that point.
And you're talking about the triangle, right?
Yeah, about the triangle.
So Floral and Reed.
Floral and Reed. Thank you. Sorry.
By the 13 acres, is that just a ponding basin or the... also the structure for the PD air fire department?
It'll be 13 acres is just pond and basin. And it's 2.7. We changed the design a little bit in that what we did was we actually took the 3 acres for Dobkins, which is on the northwest corner. Then we actually, you know, as time has gone on, we put a 30-foot easement between Dobkins and the fire station. So there will be a pathway, we're thinking ahead, put the roadway in that's available to the basin as well as to the fire station. There's a variety of reasons, design reasons that we did that, and I won't bore you with all that, but the training center is scheduled to be 2.75 acres, 2¾ acres. Chief's very happy with that. He and I have worked very, very well together. I've appreciated working with him immensely to get the design and understand that the parcel is to some degree irregularly shaped, just because it's a triangle. And when you start moving down, you've got to keep clear pathways and so on and such. Chief is absolutely on board with the new design, and we're hoping, because of all the hard work the city has done, that it will make the actual designing of the basin very easy for the engineering firm. So we've been very busy. Probably the last thing I'll report on, don't be surprised, in the budget. Let me rephrase that. In the budget, there was a position added to the engineering division. It's a senior engineering tech position. It was funded for 7 months, and it'll be funded full-time thereafter. We will probably start advertising in the next couple weeks for that. So if you see something in the exponent, or you hear something traipsing around, you'll know what that's about. And that concludes my report.
Thank you.
And I'll answer any questions you might have on any planning or engineering or City of Reedley business. And we won't talk politics.
Oh, I hate to see Sears moving out.
Sears moving out? Really? I didn't know that.
Already?
Already? What happened?
I don't know, but one thing they didn't do is advertise. Nobody knew they were there.
Well, I think people knew they were coming, but they don't know where they landed. And so they never really paid attention to what's going on over there. Which is a shame.
Yeah. No, it was lousy. Mm-hmm. Ugly. It was ugly.
All right. So we want to talk about future agenda items. Where are we scheduled for August 20th? Yeah, all right. So you guys put your little reminders on your calendar for August 20th as a possible. We'll get that email from Ellen, hopefully.
Yeah, August 20th is a go. I posted that you'll see the public hearing notice in the paper too.
Okay, so it is a go.
It is a go, yeah. And then the general plan amendment, change of zone, intended subdivision map, I know we've talked about that before, but that's Blossom Trail. And so that's tentative, just to let everybody know that it's coming, but I don't know if that's going to be the date, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But I'll keep you posted.
All right. All right. Thank you.
I will not be here August 20th.
All right, if we don't have any more questions, concerns, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting.